Good morning, and welcome to the Tuesday edition of the KRFY Morning Show. This is Julie Calamine, the Tuesday Morning Show host, and I'm going to introduce him more fully in a minute or two, but our guest this morning is Chip Corsi, pretty new president of the Panhandle chapter of Trout Unlimited. Let's just say good morning, and we'll come back to you in a minute. Chip, good morning.
Morning.
Nice to have you here this morning. Before we jump into what's going to be a great interview, I'm going to give weather. We always do it on Tuesdays, and it's turning a little wintry, folks. We've got high today, 48, partly sunny. Tonight, it's going to be down at 33, mostly cloudy. Wednesday, 47. Wednesday night, 30. So you're seeing a pattern here, I'm sure. Highs in the high 40s now instead of the 50s, lows in the 30s. And oh, I see that on Thursday night we'll be down into the 20s. So getting a little chillier every day. And I don't know if anyone's been noticing, but snow on a lot of rather low mountains. Have you noticed some, Chip?
Driving across the Long Bridge this morning was spectacular because there was a nice alpenglow on the snowy peaks of the southern Selkirks.
It's
there.
Starting to feel a little like winter, and I know the skiers are going to be getting excited. So that's what we have to look forward in terms of weather. I like it. I like that chill, crispy nights and still cool, but really great days for getting out and doing things. And some of the things we do are trout fishing and environmental work, etc. So that brings us into our interview today. Chip, you are the current president of Trout Unlimited, and you've been with us. How long have you been on the board? About a year? Not quite?
No, I've been on the board, I think, this is my third year, I think.
But first year as president. There you go.
Yes.
And I'd like you to tell us a bit about your background and how you came to be interested in Trout Unlimited, and then you've got a great career that made you perfect for this role.
Oh, well,
I think
we'll see how perfect it is. but I've been kind of a lifelong trout junkie since I was a kid. So I went and got a degree in fisheries from the University of Idaho and a master's in zoology from Idaho State, studying trout down in southeast Idaho, and wound up working 42 years for the Department of Fish and Game, starting out as a fisheries biologist, but ending up kind of working in everything.
But your final position was a pretty good one.
Well, yeah, it was. I enjoyed it a lot, immensely. So I got to supervise the Panhandle region for 19 plus years. That was a lot of fun. Got a lot of neat things done. A lot of it was fish-based, but a lot of it was other things, too. But I've been most of my adult life, I've been a Trout Unlimited member. I just haven't been that active in the organization because I was active in the profession. So
pretty active, pretty busy job managing a lot of fish and game and fisheries people.
Yeah, we're pretty lucky in Idaho. We have some world-class resources to work with and kind of like to keep them that way. So
that's a good plan. And you're with the right organization as a retired person, I would say, because that's the mission of Trout Unlimited, isn't it? Conservation of our cold water fisheries.
It is. And it's the mission looks forward to the future and making sure that those fisheries are there for us to enjoy as well as our future generations to enjoy.
Yes, hopefully so. Hopefully we have plenty of cold water for people in the future.
Yeah, and that I think may be a challenge in some cases, but certainly lots of work to do, but lots of resource to work with in Idaho. We're certainly fortunate that way.
That's a really great statement to make and a great thing to mention, because we are pretty fortunate here in Idaho to have lots of cold water fisheries.
Incredibly fortunate. I grew up back east, and people I know that are trout fishermen back there are like, God, you get to work and live out there. So
kind of a dream, right?
We're definitely, we got lots of great fisheries, but we are definitely a trout state. So
Let's take a minute and do a bit of an overview of Trout Unlimited. Listeners may not know that we do more than just fish for trout, right? We're pretty interested in conservation. So take a minute and talk about that.
Yeah. So Trout Unlimited was formed, I want to say, back in the 50s in Michigan by a group of fishermen who care about trout, but recognized that there were conservation needs that needed to be fulfilled. And it's kind of grown from somebody's living room meeting into a nationwide organization with chapters across the country. I think somewhere in the neighborhood of 1,000 chapters across the country. And yeah, the mission is conservation. And also I think promoting the cold water fisheries so that, and promoting fishing as a way to build people who are, build a segment of the population that, that is invested in those fisheries, because it's more than just something they can look at and see, but it's something that they get wet in, roll around in, so to speak, but enjoy, and creates advocates for that, those resources.
And the National is a pretty big deal. The National Organization of Trout Unlimited does a lot of things.
Yeah, they do.
Yeah.
They're very active. They have some really talented professional staff, both on the science side and on the side that helps navigate the political environment that affects cold water fisheries.
Yes. And we have two of those people working for National that work in our region, don't we?
Yeah, we're super fortunate. That, yes. We have Aaron Plew and Kathy Gidley. Aaron was pretty recently named the state director for Idaho, which is very cool. But she had kind of done a number of things prior in her career, including working in the job that Kathy now has, which is implementing restoration projects. So it's pretty exciting to have Aaron there as the state program leader. And then Kathy's, used to work with Kathy at Department of Fish and Game. She's a great biologist, and she's, you know, they're both really passionate about what they do, and they're really good at it.
Yeah, and lucky to have them here. We get to
see
them at
and we've actually
meetings.
They've got some well-funded mitigation-type programs, one in particular that they get to work with, so they have the ability to leverage all kinds of money from private and other organizations to really do some great programs and projects and big, meaningful projects that are going to make a difference on the landscape for native fishes in particular. But
yeah, pretty inspiring work.
Yeah.
You know, Chip, I don't want to slow our roll here, but I realize it's important for me to mention two things before we go on. One is to thank you all, Trout Unlimited as an organization, for being an underwriter to KRFY. So thank you so much. Appreciate the support. And then the number two thing is that one of our main reasons for having you in this morning is to make sure listeners know about the upcoming annual meeting. So I wanted to mention it early and also later in case
sure.
we don't catch everybody.
Sure. So, yes. The Panhandle Chapter Trout Unlimited, which you're a member of the Panhandle Chapter by virtue of the fact if you are a Trout Unlimited member and you live in the five northern counties of Idaho. We're certainly happy to have new people sign up and become members. And but the annual members meeting will be held Wednesday, November 12th. At the Elks Club in Sandpoint, or maybe it's in Ponderay.
I think it's Ponderay, but I don't think there's another one, so people will find it.
Right. So that'll start at 5:30, the social. To make it easy for folks, it's a relatively low-cost menu. Folks can order off the menu if they want to dine. If they don't want to dine, they can just mingle and learn about what the chapter's been up to and where we'd like to go with some things, and hopefully how we can engage with folks so we can kind of grow our positive impact on Northern Idaho's fisheries.
It should be a good meeting. I need to put out a disclaimer, listeners. I think you all know this already, but I am a member of Trout Unlimited and also on the board at this time, so I'll be there for sure. And I can vouch for their burgers at the Elks Club. Really
oh, well,
good.
That's good news.
Good fries, too. So come for the meeting, stay for a burger if you're a burger person. Okay, so we have that. And I believe last year, if folks that were not members came to an event like this, they could join TU for the first year. Is that still happening?
So we did that at the film festival, which is a late winter, early spring event that we have. It's a fly fishing film festival, or sometimes called F3. And it's real popular. We usually come close to or fill up the Pan Ida. And we do offer folks the opportunity to become members at that, but we're certainly willing to do what we can to help folks become members whenever and wherever.
Okay, great. So come along and come along to that meeting and consider becoming a member if the meeting interests you at all. Good. Very good. And should we move on to the a bit more on the annual meeting? Or will there be a speaker? Will there be any interesting topics that we might cover during that meeting?
I think, Kathy's going to give Kathy Gidley, biologist, will give a blurb on some of her work. Aaron may also do that. At least that's, I believe they're both planning on attending. I'm hoping that we can get Amy Anderson, who is a part-time employee of the chapter funded through the mitigation program from the Clark Fork hydroelectric projects that Avista runs. And Amy runs the Bull Trout Education Program. She reaches hundreds or thousands of kids every year and other people and talks to them about what the needs are for bull trout and other cold water fish. So she's done some really fun stuff, and I think it's good for folks to kind of get a sense of kind of things that we do as a chapter.
Something fun that I've participated in is a little field trip up Trestle Creek. Let's talk about that. That happens for school kids.
Yeah, I got to participate in that too this fall, and it was a lot of fun. It's 3 hours or so of hosting kids at the Avista site on Trestle Creek, where they can really, spawning kokanee are very visible. We didn't get to see any, but once in a while you'll see bull trout that are in the stream too. But anyway, the kids that we had were different age groups into junior high and maybe high school even, but mostly elementary kids. And they have a ball just learning about stream ecosystems and what makes fisheries, cold water fisheries, tick. And then they kind of get to turn rocks over and look at bugs, and they get to look at the fish and look at the habitat, think about what kinds of things trout and salmon and other cold water fishes need to be successful in the environment. And Trestle Creek's a great place to do that because of its importance as a spawning tributary for Lake Ponderay's bull trout and cutthroat trout and kokanee salmon. So,
yes, and and it's just a great experience for those kids.
They have beautiful. A blast. They're running around. They're really inquisitive. They ask a lot of questions. They're anxious to see what's going on in the stream. And we have a few other things that we had. They got a little lesson on grizzly bears while they were there. And also the stream, the riparian environment, the forest around the stream. So I think they got a good sense of things going on out in nature. And it's a really good opportunity for kids just to really get out and kind of let their hair down and actually learn some things firsthand in person.
For sure. That's a field trip most kids would enjoy, I think.
Yeah, there were a lot of happy kids at that one. So.
And as we know, that site is related to the Clark Fork settlement. And so I'm going to go back to that for just a moment because our chapter of Trout Unlimited was very involved in creating the settlement that allowed for these opportunities. Now, I know Bill Love or maybe Lauren would have extensive history because they were around then, but I know you can speak to it also.
Yeah, I was fortunate to be around at the very beginning of that settlement as an employee of the Fish and Game Department, and I worked very closely with the Panhandle chapter way back in the mid-1990s, and late 1990s, to get that settlement agreement together with all the other stakeholders, and it's been incredibly beneficial for Idaho's cold water fisheries up here in the Ponderay Basin. It's the funding that's come from that has restored streams. It's helped to manage the predator issues we were dealing with in Lake Ponderay and is directly responsible for funding the restoration of the kokanee fishery, which then supports bull trout and the big rainbow trout in the lake. It also has benefited native cutthroat incredibly. So we have fish passage at the dams now. Just a whole suite of programs over 25 years done through a collaborative effort, and Trout Unlimited still plays a role in that. Bill sits on the technical committee and I sit on the management committee. So we still play a role in that, and it's very rewarding.
I would think so. And an education role, right? We help with the bull trout
education. Yes. And I mentioned Amy Anderson earlier, and Amy's our part-time employee whose responsibility is to put together programs. There's for all kinds, all age groups. She spends a lot of time with kids, but we have what we call the bull trout trailer, which is a sort of an educational equivalent of a food truck where we can open it up and there's all kinds of displays and things that people can pick up and look at and read and interpret and have somebody to talk to about what it means. But there's a lot of going to classrooms, and there are a lot, and she does a great job of putting on these field trips. She also, back in the summer, worked with some folks down in the Coeur d'Alene tribe and some others to put on a water festival in Coeur d'Alene, which gave her another opportunity to speak to bull trout in the panhandle. So,
right. Now, I don't want the listeners to get the wrong idea about these food trucks. There will be no trout served.
No, just information that's served in the form of you learn good things about trout.
That's so true. Well, I think we'll take a short song break now, and then we're going to come back and talk more about, once again, about the upcoming annual meeting and then just sort of what's on Trout Unlimited's events calendar for the year. So we're going to take a short one, and folks will probably recognize this voice. It's Mike Wagoner, one of our local folks who plays around town with Fishin' Blues. Got a finicky mouse happening this morning, guys, so I'm working on turning on this song. Give me a moment. Well, that was Fishin' Blues by Mike Wagoner. Thanks, Mike. That's a great version of what is a really fun song. For those of you just joining us, this is KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle. This is the Tuesday morning show where we focus on topics of the outdoors, environment, and, oh, more fun things like recreation. I'm Julie Calamine, one of three Tuesday morning show hosts, and here this morning with Chip Corsi, the president of Trout Unlimited Panhandle Chapter. Now, I must tell you that we thought we were going to have a second guest this morning, and you've all heard him on air before, Bill Love Jr. Bill's has been a great president and was president for so long, so many years, Chip, that we were pretty sure we were going to have to make him a king. But finally, someone stepped in, and he would have been a reluctant king, wouldn't he?
Yeah, I think he would have been a reluctant
king. He was quite happy, I think, to step down. Poor Bill. But great job.
But he's still incredibly engaged and super helpful.
Yes. Oh, we love him. But sorry, Bill, that you couldn't make it today because you would have been able to add a lot that Chip and I can't add as well as we do. He adds so much. But I think we'd like to just again mention the main purpose for this morning's interview, which is to encourage folks to come to our annual meeting of the chapter.
Yeah. Again, as mentioned earlier, Wednesday, November 12th. At the Elks Club in Ponderay/Sandpoint at 5:30. There's no charge to attend the meeting. If you would like to order food off the menu, there's some pretty reasonably priced items that will be available. So if you want to dine, that would be great. And we're going to have some discussion about stuff that TU has been engaged in over the last year, hopes to be engaged in the coming year. And also, not only about trying to recruit more members, but we actually have a couple of board vacancies coming up that we would like to see if folks would be interested in filling.
Yes, that's a great thing to point out. Yes. And, you know, it's also an opportunity to meet other folks that love fly fishing. So if you're looking for a fishing buddy, this might be a great opportunity.
Yeah, if you're looking for a fishing buddy, and I'm one of those two guys, I'm an avid fly fisherman, but I'm happy to welcome spin fishermen, bait fishermen. as long as they care about trout
and, yes, of course.
And their conservation. I think the thing I love about Trout Unlimited is it's resource-based, but it's resource-based in a way that promotes the responsible use of the and enjoyment of the resource and builds advocates for the resource by doing that.
That's a great statement. And you mentioned already, but there will be some interesting topics we'll be hearing about, and a person might just come along and meet Trout Unlimited folks or become a member, depending on how you like the meeting.
Yep. So. We hope folks, if they're curious, if they're fishermen fisher people that would like to learn more about Trout Unlimited, there'll be lots of folks there happy to visit with you about it. I will be certainly one of them. And, like I said, we're anxious to kind of grow the chapter and find more ways to be effective at doing good things for trout and their habitats, and also to help people enjoy those resources.
Yes, and over the years, the organization has done some fun little projects. I remember one summer we ran all the way up to Hughes Fork, and planted little saplings to try and help that tiny little creek up there. But there are a lot of interesting things that go on with TU. I'd like to return to what we think might be going on in 2026.
Yeah, so the chapter's been pretty engaged in fly fishing instruction. We've got some board members that they really enjoy that. They're really good at it, and we get a number of the folks to volunteer to help out with that. Last year we did a 4-weekend program in the spring, and then also there have been a few short programs for like school kids and veterans that the chapter's been engaged in. So I expect to see us at least do that much this coming year. We're trying to be more and more active on the conservation front. So we've got some people on the board who have good expertise in looking at types of projects that require permitting that might affect trout habitat and making recommendations for the permitting agencies and how those projects can be completed in a way that minimizes, or in some cases you might even be able to benefit trout habitat, but at least mitigate the impacts. And so we've written quite a few letters. A couple that come to mind that were interesting was there was a petition over by the Lincoln County, Montana commissioners to relax the water quality standards for the Kootenai River in Montana, which of course flows into Idaho, and we have a really, really good trout fishery in the Kootenai River these days. And they wanted to they asked for relaxing the selenium standards, which selenium is associated with the coal mining further up the drainage in Canada. Selenium, too much selenium is not a good thing for fish. It affects reproduction, lowers the numbers of fish that are recruited into the fishery. We were one of many organizations and individuals that sent comments to the Montana DEQ board, and they decided to reject that request. So we feel pretty good about that. We've been active in being one of the voices for protecting our public lands and the access that provides to us for activities like fishing and hunting and hiking and all the other things we like to do, like huckleberry picking around here. Those kinds of things we get engaged in, and where we think that there's an opportunity to be heard and to make reasonable recommendations that allow good projects to happen, but they happen in a way that are at worst not harmful to trout and at best are beneficial. So those kinds of things. And then, we haven't had many opportunities to do actual on the ground work, but we're hoping this summer that we may get those opportunities with some of the stream restoration work that's being planned up in the North Fork of the Coeur d'Alene Basin this year.
So. And what a beautiful area to go and help out.
Yeah, yeah.
Maybe certainly bring along a flag.
Yeah.
We're both to say the same thing at the same time.
Worst places to spend a day.
That's so, for sure. It's so gorgeous up there. Well, and that brings me to another potential way that folks that are interested in cold water resources might be able to help out. We're just tossing around the idea of a partnership with the Idaho Trails Association, who work along a lot of rivers and, try and keep those trails open and access open so people are still enjoying it and valuing. So
I think there's overlap in those two missions that could be good fertile ground for a project.
More to come there.
Yeah. And I'd also mention that there's in the community here in Bonner County, there's been a group of diversified trail users looking to find the common ground amongst all the different users, and they've invited TU to participate. So we have been, and primarily as not because our role is trail maintenance, but because trail use and trail development and trail maintenance sometimes can positively or negatively affect trout habitat. So we've been engaged in that too, and really appreciate having the opportunity to do that.
Yeah, partnerships make a big difference.
Yes, they do. And it's remarkable when folks break bread together a few times, they can figure out how much they have in common to work on. And it's pretty rewarding when you find good things to do and other people, and everybody feels like they still got what they needed out of that. So,
well put. I couldn't agree more. Well, Chip, we've got maybe a couple more things to talk about, but we're starting to wind down. And this thought came to me as we were talking about encouraging folks to come to the annual meeting and becoming a volunteer or a member with Trout Unlimited. If you could put it in one easy statement, why would you recommend someone join to you or start showing up? It's not easy.
I'll try to keep it short, which sometimes people tell me I'm not that good at, but if you care about fishing, if you enjoy fishing, or you even care about clean water and the natural world, I mean, Trout Unlimited, by being a voice and an active engager in protecting our cold water watersheds, those are really kind of the the top end of the lifeblood of a lot of what we have and appreciate about this area. And so TU's beneficial actions go way beyond benefiting just fish and fishermen. But for folks that really care about trout, what a great way to give something back.
Yeah, I couldn't agree more. It's a feel-good organization.
It's a do-good organization, too.
Absolutely. Feel good and do good.
Yes.
That was a great way to state why folks might want to consider being with Trout Unlimited. Well, we always have to ask this question, whether it's the end of a Trout Unlimited meeting or an interview with the president of Trout Unlimited. So how's the fishing? I think you were just on a good trip.
Well, I was on a good trip. I spent a lot of my fishing time this year up on the Kootenai, and that's been really good. But I spent the early part of my career working down in southeastern Idaho, and I spent a lot of time working on the South Fork of the Snake. So it's a place I go back to every year. My brother and I and a friend started a trip 36 years ago that we've done annually, and I got to spend a week floating and fishing the South Fork and camping out in the backcountry there at the same time and enjoying that resource with the fall colors. And lots of fish were caught. Good time was had by all, despite the rain and the snow.
So, what more can you ask
that's
for?
That's right.
I didn't have urine experience, but I had a fun little day scooting around on the big lake and trying to find some fish. It was fun too. So that's a totally different experience.
October, even into early November, can be a great time to fish, and it's not crowded. There's all kinds of October caddis, big orange bugs that are easy to see on the end of your fly line.
It's fun.
fish are pretty hungry. So great time to go. And that's true of all the North Idaho Rivers. Yes. Yeah.
And there's a tip from the president. So, folks, you might expect a few more if you attend the meeting. You might get a few more fishing tips.
I would probably get more than I can give, but that's okay.
I think the same is true of me, too. But it should be a great event. And
We hope to see a lot of folks turn out. That would be wonderful.
All right. Well, let's have that date one more time, and then I'm going to go out with a song.
Wednesday, November 12th at the Elks Club in Sandpoint, 5:30. And we hope to see you there.
Sounds good. Well, listeners, if you've joined us late in the hour, this is KRFY, listener-supported community radio for the Idaho Panhandle, Tuesday morning show. And this morning, I've been lucky enough to be joined by Trout Unlimited Panhandle Chapter's president, Chip Corsi. Chip, thanks for coming over.
Thanks for having me.
All right. Now, on to a song. We'll see if anyone likes this guy. I haven't heard it, actually. Fish Ain't Biting. That's probably not what we want to hear, but it sometimes happens. But it's also why they don't call it catching, isn't it?
That's true.
All right. Well, let's give it a listen. Have a great week, everybody.